There's no day, no moment in our lives when we're not waiting for something. I think Beckett saw that and then decided to make his play about waiting. What about what goes on while we're waiting, Charlie Hobbs, Vladimir in the play, asks, but about the actual process of waiting and what it does to you. Some have said waiting for the about nothing that repeats itself twice. Sort of a precursor to Seinfeld. That is why, on one hand, watching these two vaudeville-like characters wait for the endlessly promised arrival of Godot is like watching paint dry. I honestly thought of leaving at intermission. Even though it's excellent, they really did a great job, don't get me wrong about that, but I was just like, oh my gosh. Yet, on the other hand, you have to admit it's like watching our lives as we pass the time in anticipation of the event or the person always about to arrive that we hope will make sense of our waiting. A common word in religion for that event or person that arrives to make sense of our waiting is revelation. In this season, another word we use for this event or person is epiphany, a light that illumines the darkness from out of the future, a disclosure that dispels the mystery to give us just enough to go on. Without revelation, you and I hold in our heads the basic facts of our lives. are disenchanted. We often enter into an awareness, not just of darkness, but of mystery. Our dwelling within mystery, he says, is both menacing and promising, a relationship of exceeding darkness and undeserved light. In this situation, with this awareness, we do a distinctively human thing. We gather together and tell stories of God to calm our terror and hold our hope on high. Such was the situation of the characters who populated the little town of Capernaum. Descendants of the exiles, they had been waiting for generations, hoping that revelatory moment or experience or event or person promised long ago by God would appear. But Mark believed he had. Believed that in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the event and the person who was the clue to the meaning and purpose of human history, had begun that day by teaching in their synagogue. Then entered the house of Simon and cured the fever of his mother-in-law. And finally that evening had opened the door to receive the sick and the possessed whose lives were in pieces. Until in Jesus, God's reign had finally come near. Suddenly it was as though those who had been walking aimlessly in the pitch dark had been joined by one who came alongside of them as light, illuminating the world for a moment such that they saw. They saw the lame made to walk, the lepers cleansed, the demons vanquished, the lost found, their broken human existence made whole. A moment. Therefore, the second thing to remember about those who wait upon the Lord is that our waiting is over. It has come to an end in Him. Of the characters in waiting for the go, you and I likely will not see Him face to face until we taste of death. We may never experience a miracle or be certain that our prayers have been answered in the affirmative. Still, this one who came to Simon and Andrew has come alongside you. This one who did not hesitate to call James and John has called you. This one who spoke with authority to the congregation in Capernaum speaks often and even to this congregation, and just of Him. This one who wrestles with unclean spirits wrestles endlessly with the darkness that has hold of you. And this one who has assumed our human condition for a season has taken these pieces of our lives as His own and fit them into the story of God's renovation the world. For in Him, the love that we have known, the love that we have heard about, the love that has been told us from the beginning has appeared in time as the clue to the meaning and purpose of our lives and as the event